I'm Jan McCarthy of Entrepreneurial Voice. Welcome. I'm here at SkidRowStudios.com. We're Real Radio on the internet, and every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can call in at 1-800-893-9562. Talk to me, talk to our guest. And today we're going to be talking to Do Kim, and she is of RPS Payroll and Bookkeeping, and we're so excited to have you here today. So Do, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Jan.
So tell me, who are you?
Wow, that's a loaded question. That's a very loaded question. I'll talk in terms of my business first.
Great.
So I started RPS Payroll and Bookkeeping Service probably towards the end of 2011. And so bookkeeping and payroll is part of my experience in the past. So it was very easy when I thought about what business do I want to start. I wanted to start with a business that I had some skill set in.
That's great. So I'd like to back up a little bit further because we're talking about the life of an entrepreneur and just really trying to find out, like, going back, where did you get these skills? What made you even decide that you wanted to be in business for yourself? Because a lot of people think, I'm going to grow up, I'm going to go to school, and they've got a kind of a job that they've always thought they wanted to do, and that's what they do. But you were thinking about, how do I take the skills that I've learned and do my own business? So how did we get from to that point?
Sure. I blame my father for getting me into this entrepreneurship. He is also a small business owner, and he's always embedded in my siblings and I that we should own our own business in the future. So even though...
My kind of guy.
Yeah, your kind of guy. Yeah, he's great. So even when I entered the corporate world, I knew whatever I was going to learn there, that I was going to take it to my own projects. So I have... I worked in a payroll company for many, many years, and they gave me great training, and I was in outside sales.
And did you always love numbers?
I did. Okay. I did. Numbers always came easy for me. Like, for example, you take your SATs for college purposes. And I scored a lot higher on that side than in English. So yeah, numbers has always been extremely easy for me.
So you knew going forward that this was something that you would enjoy and be able to be proficient at. So creating a business around all of that was already in your thought process.
Right. Well, let me backtrack a little bit. I actually started with my payroll business first because, again, I had the skill set to understand payroll, to understand small businesses, because that's what I did for many, many years. And that actually helped me out a lot, just visiting small businesses, talking to small business owners. They would tell me, what they really enjoyed, and they also told me what they didn't like to do. So, obviously payroll is very compliant driven. So that's one aspect that a lot of people did not want to do as a small business owner. So, I knew that there was a huge market for that. So when I thought about, okay, what am I good at? What do I have experience in? It was a natural fit for me to start a payroll company. And then as I walked that out, a lot of people started to ask me, well, do you do bookkeeping? And initially, I wanted to stay away from that because I wanted to focus on one thing, but realized that they're so interconnected and that I have done accounting before in my past. So it was a very easy thing for me to add that on to my business.
A real natural fit. Mm-hmm. But what I really like that you talked about is that growing up, you knew that you were proficient at numbers. And so somehow your future would hold that, mm-hmm. right? And then you went out and you got experience.
Yes.
And that's really helpful to go out and get some real world experience sometimes, unless you're just totally driven with something that you know specifically that you wanted to do. But you went out and you got experience. And I loved what you said is that you listened. You really listened to the customers that you were working with in finding out what it was that they didn't like, what it was that they did like, and finding out how can I carve a niche for myself. So you brought up some really important points for entrepreneurs to think about, especially when they're trying to decide, well, how do I take what I've got, what I'm good at, and then apply that to solve a problem or fill a need out in the marketplace so that will help set you up to be successful.
Yeah. Thank you for noticing that.
Yeah. Well, it's just so true. So still taking that leap from working a job that feels somewhat secure to starting your own business, and for you, you had the confidence to know that you could because you had been around that all of your life and it was already sort of programmed into that you would be able to do that and should be able to do that and all of those things. But still, that's still a leap. So did you go to your father for all of the information about how do I start this or how did you take that next step and when did you decide that you were ready?
Right. I think it's a gut feeling. It's intuition. I think, a lot of people out there that have passions and have dreams for something else than what they're currently doing. I really believe that you in your gut know that eventually you're going to do something else that you're more passionate about. So I have known for a long time that I was going to venture out on my own, but I do believe it's also a timing issue because, a lot of things have to happen at one time for you to have the courage to venture out, actually. And when I was ready to do that, I think I just was at a point in my life where I just knew whatever I've done in the last few years was not really working for me. I mean, I've had good rewards of, helping different organizations and working for a different organization, but I just knew for myself, I just had to be true to who I am. And it takes a lot of courage, but it's so doable to venture out and say, this is what I was made to do. And I didn't go to my father at that point. He works more with his hands. So, and for me, I'm a service-based company. So mm-hmm. Although, I've learned a lot from my father's business, working as a child, younger person, working for my dad. But I also knew I needed to just look around at my own personal resources and see like where can I seek help from to really, really take some traction in my business.
That's really great that, and you bring up a very important point that we have a lot of resources, but a lot of times people don't recognize that or they're somewhat hesitant to ask for that help. So you looked at kind of really starting to build your own team without relying on like family member, really saying, all right, so who is it that can help me take this next step?
Right. And I think, one of the key things is if you have a service or a product, we want to sell it, or we would not be open in our business or even be successful. So one of the key things that I looked at is where are my opportunities to gain clients? Because if I don't have enough clients, then, I might as well shut the doors.
Great point.
Yeah. So one of the first things I did, because I, you know, I do have experience in outside sales. Mm-hmm. So one of the first things that I looked at is what organizations can I connect with to get the word out that I am open for business?
Right.
So I remember in my past that there was a weekly like business breakfast networking groups out there. So, you know, I'm going to go with things that I know initially.
Right.
And then eventually I found Ladies Who Launch, who you head up the Southern California region, right?
Yeah, thank you.
And really, I think that's where I realized like, oh, this is a good group for me because it's all women, which I enjoy. Not that I don't enjoy working with men, but it's
and we'll get to it later, but you do work with men now in a different capacity too.
Yeah. So. And so, you know, it's a group of people that I would love to help. I looked at it that way. And I met, you know, obviously I met you through this group and I met a lot of other, you know, wonderful business women through this group. And so I think the key is looking at your resources and seeing that there's actually a group that you really want to target and work with. I think that really helped me in my business.
Well, a couple of things that you brought up that, and I won't say all women, but I do find it to be something that many of the women I come in contact with, many of the women entrepreneurs, struggle with. One is numbers. So helping them to feel more comfortable in that aspect of their business, whether it be making payroll or whether it be the bookkeeping task, because they may see themselves as more of the creative. And even though they may have that skill set, they haven't been instructed or encouraged or mentored in finding that skill set. And then the other thing that comes to mind is sales. And looking at sales, sometimes sales has a negative connotation to it for women. So yes. How did you reconcile that? How did you come to love sales and recognize the valuable part of it, besides the fact that you had to sell to keep your doors open?
Sure.
But to have that confidence to make sales, what was your secret for that?
I think number one, you really have to believe in what you're selling. I think that was the key for me. That was not always the case for my past.
Oh, so tell us about that.
Yeah.
How did you get to that point then?
Yeah. So when I work for bigger corporations, mm-hmm. You are taught to sell in a very specific way. There's like these formulas almost.
A script.
Mm-hmm. A script. These are the cold calls that you do. If you do X amount of cold calls, then you get X amount of, you know, prospects, and then you get X amount of sales out of that. So there's this whole formula. And I have tried that, and it does work. It does come out to a formula. I do recognize that. Mm-hmm. But with my personality, I don't think that fits my personality because I look at each business owner as a person. And so as a person, they all need different things.
Right.
So I think just understanding, because I have gone through that sales process and sales training, I think coming into my business, obviously it helped me tremendously. But I think that, you know, looking back, that was not my personality. That would not be my preference in the way that I would do sales. But now that I'm a little older, hopefully wiser, I do sales much differently, more with my personality in mind. And I realized that when I started doing that, that people really embraced it because they knew it was genuine, that it was not a script or it was not a formula. And I didn't look at them as just a sale. So I think that has really helped me in my business.
Oh, I agree completely. I love that you said you have to believe in it. And I think that's really true. And I think that's where the confidence comes. It's because you do believe in your product. And it's not that you're selling someone. You're really sharing your skills and you're helping to solve a problem for them. And you're being authentic. And we all respond to authenticity. And so I loved that you recognized that. And yes, we all know that the typical salesperson that follows that formula will succeed on some level. But whether the customer actually feels great about what they purchased or not may be another story. So when you are able to sell it from that viewpoint of sharing, believing in what you do, and obviously that's going to lead to you giving the very best that you can. It's making the customer and solving their problem or filling that need. It's going to make them feel really good about what they've purchased. And so I love that you brought that up because I know that it is in one of those kind of ranks up there with public speaking, you know, one of those yes. really fearful things for many of the women that I come in contact with. And there are probably a few men too. And hopefully our listeners will be able to take something from that and help them to feel a little bit more confident. Let me just add that if anyone's listening would like to call in and talk to myself or Doe, the number is 1-800-893-9562, and we would love to hear from you. We are live streaming from downtown Los Angeles right now, talking to Doe Kim of RPS Payroll and Bookkeeping. So we've talked about just helping your customers and really finding your niche there with what do your customers that you were working with, what was it that they didn't like so much that they didn't feel so comfortable with? Because when we, as entrepreneurs, we do sometimes have to wear all the hats, but we also, very important, have to recognize what our strengths and what our skill sets are. And if we are spending all of our time working on something that we're not comfortable with, and like you said, with payroll and bookkeeping, those are two subjects that you really have to follow the law. You can't just kind of wing it and say, oh, well, if that didn't happen, that's okay. You know, we can get by. You know, so you really paid attention to where your opportunities were and what you could do to solve that and help that and find that niche. And it's so important for people who are out there struggling, trying to find clarity about what it is they want to do, to recognize that this is one of the ways to do it.
Sure. And I think, you know, going back to your previous question, I think people do have, you know, fears about sales and numbers or both. And I find very often I meet entrepreneurs and they're so great at what they do. And that's why they got into business. But one of the things that maybe they didn't consider or maybe they didn't really plan on is the compliance sides of their business. And so obviously payroll is a little bit easier in that you have to pay payroll taxes and it's ongoing. Mm-hmm. And but the bookkeeping side, I find sometimes people do get very behind. Because, you know, a month can go by so quickly. And so it is easy for very creative or very passionate entrepreneurs to say, I'll get to that. And it doesn't get done. Because, you know, frankly, I don't think that they want to do that or they want to tackle that.
Because you bring up a really great point.
Because that's not their skill set. And, you know, I always think about energy. My energy, like how much energy do I have in one day? Like what can I accomplish with that energy that I have for that day? And so if you're doing something that is not something you enjoy or it's not your skill set, it's going to take a like maybe double or triple the energy that it would take you to do something that you really enjoy. And so for a lot of entrepreneurs, I feel like, you know, bookkeeping or payroll, you know, maybe you should not be doing that. And if you feel like it's something that is stopping you from doing other things.
Yeah, focusing on their genius work, focusing on the things that they're best at, rather than spinning their wheels and procrastinating. So what do you, because even if they do hire you, what do you tell your clients of ways that they can take that task that they may find distasteful,
that's
overwhelming.
A very nice way of putting it.
Overwhelming, just like way too much, makes my head explode. What are some tips that you give them in terms of trying to at least keep the record somewhat, so that you can be more proficient yourself, you know,
sure,
with them, and you can help them better.
Sure. So I have a system that I like to use, and that's, you know, pretty much a system that I've created. And one of the things that I do with, I believe, all of my clients is that I keep, I try to help them keep organized monthly. So, you know, keeping all your receipts and invoices in an envelope for that month, because everything's going to tie into either your bank statement or your credit card statement. So just keeping, you know, maybe you have different envelopes for different receipts. I mean, that would be even an extra layer of, you know, getting even more organized. Yeah. But, you know, generally, I tell my clients, if you can keep all your receipts in one place for that month, and if you can go a little bit further, I have a client that's super organized, and several of my clients actually are super organized. So they put their receipts in date order. That's my personal preference. And then when I get the package, it's just so much easier for me to enter that information into, you know, an accounting software. So the key is when, and it's easier to obviously catch this early on your business. Like if you are thinking about starting a business right now, just think about your system. How do I keep myself organized in a way that even if I got like 3-4 months behind, that someone could actually, I can give them a package, mm-hmm, and that someone could very easily input that into a software and give me my financials, which, you know, whether it's a profit and loss statement or a balance sheet. So that is kind of my suggestion in terms of organization.
That's a great tip. And I like that you brought it up about new entrepreneurs too, because that's probably the last thing on their mind.
Yes.
And yet it's a simple step, maybe a little bit harder in execution than it sounds, but it is a simple step. And that can be, like you said, I loved what you said, that it can be incredibly helpful that someone, even if they get behind, even if they're not the one keeping the records, someone could come in and keep those, be able to update them fairly easily, rather than them trying to scramble, let me see, where my receipts are in my purse, or I know I had something, I stuck it in my pocket and probably looking through a few bags and finding a few there, and then trying to reconcile it with the bank statement. And sometimes what's on the bank statement or the credit card is something different than what the receipt says. So trying to make notes right there in the moment would probably be helpful.
Yes. So if you can catch some of the system or create the system before you get your business started, or even at least think about it. I'm going to start an XYZ company.
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, you're thinking about processes and systems for sales and how you're going to market and how you're going to brand yourself. But just take it a little bit further and think about a system that would work for you, because everyone's different. What would work for me in terms of, you know, keeping my financials in order for my business.
Great, great, great advice. So for many of us, being motivated every day to do the things that maybe we feel uncomfortable with, how do you motivate yourself?
How do I motivate myself? I think I really see the passion in my clients. And obviously that is part of my passion, because my business helps entrepreneurs. So I kind of see it as a whole. So I have a passion to help entrepreneurs. And then when I see that their growth, or when I see their businesses grow, it gets me really excited too, because I see how exciting that is. And I obviously see it through the lens of bookkeeping or the number side of things, but it's still equally exciting for me. And so I think I just get up every day thinking that my work really matters, and that I'm really helping someone move forward in their dreams and their passion. And you know, there are times where I would explain certain aspects of financials to someone, and when I see that they get it, they finally get it, that's really rewarding for me. Because I remember when I looked at a piece of paper and it said profit and loss statement, I'm like, what is that? Why do I need to know this? But you need to know a profit and loss statement in your business, because you need to understand, or you want to understand, hopefully, that each month what you're spending versus your sales. That's really important. That lets you know if you actually are making a profit that month. So that's extremely important. But, you know, no judgment against anyone who does not look at their profit and loss statement. But I do encourage people to really look at their numbers each month. Because if you don't have a plan, if you don't have a financial plan, I don't know where you're going. There is no roadmap for you. So, you know, since we're getting closer to the end of the year, I think this is a great time to really look at, what are my plans financially for my business for the rest of this year? And then what are my plans for next year?
Great. Thinking ahead, that's important. So how, what have you overcome in your life that helped you to be, because I know you, and I know this to be true, that you're one of the most non-judgmental people. And it's kind of like people do have a fear coming to you because there's might be a little bit of embarrassment. They know that they should have been doing this, but they didn't. It's kind of like going to the dentist, and when he says, have you been flossing every day? And you, you know, you have to think about it for a moment. Do you tell the little white lie? You know, but the truth is really always there. And you have no judgment about that. And I've always really, really appreciated that about you. So are there things that have happened in your life that helped you to be so patient and understanding that we all go through things and we may not, that even though it just seems like we should be doing that, we don't maybe? What helped you to develop that compassion and that understanding?
Great question. I'm going to be a little vulnerable here.
Okay.
So in my 20s, I've made a lot of mistakes with money. Money is something that I was not really taught at home about money, how money works. So, you know, I go to college, I open up my first credit card, and I think it's free money, right?
So many people do.
Right, right. No one explained to me the cause and effect of a credit card. And so that kind of continued all throughout my 20s, you know, getting into debt, a lot of debt, you know, even coming out of school with school loan debt. So, you know, in my 20s, I had a lot of debt. You know, I had a car loan. That's another debt, you know? So I actually made a lot of mistakes in my 20s, and I'm kind of glad that it was in my 20s that I made it, not later in life, because I think that set a pattern for me to understand the consequence of my decisions in terms of money. And, you know, you could apply to any other areas of your life, right? Just cause and effect of your decisions. Mm-hmm. But with money, I think because I've made a lot of mistakes and I've gotten myself out of it, I've figured out ways to solve problems of my debt and my mistakes. So I think that that might be where my compassion towards that comes from, because I know how that feels. Like, you feel when you are in money trouble, you feel so out of control.
Right.
You feel like everything's stacked up against you. And so because I know how that feels, and I also have that experience of getting out of it. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, hopefully I give people hope about, you know, understanding numbers and understanding that you can get out of that situation, but you do have to plan for it. It's not just going to happen.
Magically disappear.
Correct. Correct.
So not sticking your head in the sand, but you do, you are very calm and you are very, very understanding. And I appreciate that you shared that with us. I didn't know that story. And, but really that is how we learn. If we've never made a mistake, we really might not be able to, you're able to help your clients better simply because you, like you said, you do did know how, you did figure out how to get out of it. You do know what it feels like to be overwhelmed. And so having that and being able, you can help them to feel confident that there is a way. And for someone who's really never experienced that and just looks at the numbers in a completely practical manner, probably aren't as effective as you can be. So I really appreciate that you shared that story. A lot of the things that happen to us, whether it be in childhood or just learning to overcome or even in later years, those are what helped shape us as an entrepreneur. And sharing those stories help to make us real and also help to build that trust and share that authenticity with our clients and our customers. And so I think it's important for all entrepreneurs to know that we can take something that maybe we haven't done so well at, but that's what helps us to turn it around. And if you talk to the successful entrepreneurs, you'll find that they've made lots of mistakes.
I agree.
But that's what led them to be successful at some point. You know, so... mistakes are not anything to be fearful of. And there's a great book, I can't remember who writes it, but it's called Fail Forward. And it means the more you fail, the more you'll move forward. And
I think his last name is Maxwell.
Yes. John Maxwell,
yes,
I think.
John Maxwell.
So, so that's really what helps us, and not being afraid or ashamed of the mistakes that we've made, but just recognizing that that's how we learn from them. And most any time we're learning something, like you said, you were in college, and if you hadn't been taught it from an early age, and a lot of times you don't even think to teach those skills. You just assume that
right.
I know as a mother, I don't always think that I needed to teach a skill. And maybe that's because I had learned it, you know, the hard way or whatever. And so I just assumed that everybody else knew it or would know it. But those skills aren't taught, and especially to so many kids in college, to come in and get credit cards. But it's such a helpful thing to understand that, you know, we all go through things like that.
So. Yeah. And, you know, speaking of failures or mistakes, I think a lot of us avoid making a mistake or failing. But the older I get, or maybe the more experience I get in my business, I realize that it's not such a bad thing. And the quicker that I make those mistakes in my business, the better it is for me in what I want to do in my business. So I'm starting to look at mistakes a little differently nowadays versus, like, let's say when I started my business in 2011. Because if I didn't make all the mistakes that I've done in the last, you know, couple years, there's no way that I would be where I am right now. Because one thing that I believe entrepreneurs are really good at, once they see that a mistake is made, they will correct it very quickly.
Yeah.
And bounce back. And so I really encourage entrepreneurs to make maybe faster mistakes.
And don't play it so safe, because
right.
when you do take those risks, or you put yourself out there and don't worry about whether it's going to fail or not, you may be actually latching on to the greatest thing that you've ever tried. But if you don't try it, you won't know.
So, right. So you know, I think when you talk to an audience of entrepreneurs, I mean, they're such risk takers anyway.
Yeah.
But I guess my advice there would be just, you know, don't be afraid to make a mistake and make it quicker.
Yeah. If you can.
If you can. Yeah. If you can. I mean, don't force it. But if you can, it would be great.
That sounds great. That's really great advice. What other advice do you have for entrepreneurs?
I'm just thinking back to when I first got started. There were a lot of questions that I had, so many unknowns. And I think a lot of people get stuck there. I think a lot of people who have the right intentions of starting a business or starting an organization or starting a project even, they have really good intentions and very great ideas. But I think as you start executing some ideas, you may get stuck somewhere. You know, it could be in an area of marketing, or it could be sales, or you don't want to be vulnerable to try something completely new that you've never done before. You know, speak in front of a crowd. That's really terrifying. So I think it just takes immense courage. You know, I look at all the entrepreneurs around me. I mean, I look at you, Jan, and I recognize the courage that it takes to try something brand new every day. And I think, and sticking through it, because we always have a way out. We can always right. quit in the middle, or we can quit after like that first foot in and say, oh, the water's too cold, I'm going to back out. But I think it takes immense courage to move forward. And I think if you can have that courage and have that passion and believe in what you're selling, that it's actually helping or benefiting someone, I think that it gets a little easier. And then if you overcome that first obstacle, it gets easier to face the second obstacle. And so it becomes a pattern, I think, for entrepreneurs. Like even for me, when I think back to all the little steps that took me to form my business and all the things that I had to learn about my business that I didn't know, but I didn't have fears about learning them as I go. And I think for certain people, they don't like to make a decision until they know everything. I think for entrepreneurs, I don't know if that's possible to know everything.
Well, you can get stuck in that analysis yeah. paralysis, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think movement is really important. It doesn't matter how fast you're going, but I think movement is very important to me.
Well, great advice. And the other thing that you said is it does take tremendous courage. And so where do you get that courage? What if you're not that courageous person? But having that passion that fuels you can really help to propel you forward. When you're so passionate about something, there's really no stopping you. I mean, it doesn't even matter. You're going to jump anyway.
Right.
If you're passionate enough about it. So understanding what your why is. And you also brought up about the importance of just those little steps. Taking the little steps. And if you look at the whole great big picture, and not that you shouldn't have some sort of picture, but if you look at the whole picture, that can certainly become overwhelming. But if you just keep putting one foot in front of the other, eventually you'll get there, and it just kind of builds, like you said, and it becomes a pattern, and you become more courageous and you learn more. And there's no way you can go into anything. It doesn't really matter whether you're an entrepreneur or not. There's no way you can go into anything and know everything.
Correct.
It just is not possible. So stop trying to do that, because it won't happen. So go ahead and learn as much as you can within a reasonable amount of time. I think it's important to maybe set a date. Like, no matter what I learn, I've got my test. I'm taking my test, or this is the day I take the leap, and set that date so that you are where you're at.
Yes.
You are here, and you're armed with whatever it is that you know. So try and plan as best as possible, but recognize that you're never going to know everything about it. So I'm moving forward in that direction. Who inspires you?
Who inspires me? There's a lot of people that inspire me. I actually have a friend. She does work in Congo. And she just has a huge heart for child soldiers. And, you know, loving on these kids who are child soldiers. And so whenever I get a chance to see her, whenever she's in the States, I see her. And, you know, I ask her tons of questions. I ask her, like, you know, what did you experience on your trip this time? What was it different this time? And, you know, yes, I need courage to do what I do in terms of my own business. But I think for her, she has to wake up with courage, or she can't even set foot outside where she's living because there's rebel soldiers everywhere. And she's this beautiful young single woman that has a passion to change the world. And, you know, when I talk to her, when I see her, I just gain a lot of inspiration. And that's just one example. You know, I have inspirations in media, you know, entertainers or my friends, you know, my family. So I just draw inspiration from a lot of places, and it's really fun for me to do that.
That's great. Well, I love that you brought her up too. I mean, it talks about, you kind of brought up a point that she's doing something philanthropic, and that is so much bigger than us sometimes. Do you have your causes?
I do. I actually have a lot of causes. But I do want to mention one organization that I'm so impressed with, and it's called Charity Water. And I had a chance to listen to the founder's story, and it's just awesome. And, you know, I've been to Africa, and Jan, you've been to Africa.
Yes.
So when you go to places like Uganda, or I don't know, which country did you go to?
I did go to Uganda.
Oh, yes.
And Kenya. And,
that's right.
Tanzania.
That's right. So I've been to Uganda twice. So when you go to a country like Uganda, you see right in front of your face, like, the poverty. You cannot run away from it. It's not like it's on media or in your computer where you can shut it off. It's right in front of you. And they are in real need. And they will ask you for things, you know. And you can't help everyone. It's just impossible at this time. So when you have those types of experiences, you know, I like to bring them back home. And think about, okay, I don't live there. I'm not, you know, that's not my passion. but my passion is business. Mm-hmm. So what can I do in my business to help either my immediate community around me or the world at large? And I believe there's a lot that we can do. And that's another thing that I'm trying to wrap my head around is how do I bring that type of cause as a link to my business? How do I want to do that?
Right.
Not just monetarily, but how do I get myself involved in different organizations and maybe even use my skill set to help them?
Mm-hmm.
So I've thought about those things. I have not really formulated a grandiose plan yet, but I think it's coming.
Oh, I'm sure. Knowing you, I'm quite sure it is. So we have just a few minutes left. Our number is 1-800-893-9562 if anyone wants to call in. But the other thing, I mean, bringing up kind of what your causes are, I also want to talk about that as entrepreneurs, you're very passionate about your business. You're passionate about the numbers and sales and really helping others. I mean, that's a very philanthropic part of you anyway. But what other things are you involved in? You've got other businesses going too. I'd love for you to say a few say something about that and how you also feed your soul with other interests and the other businesses that you're involved in. So.
Sure. Yeah, I have a wide range of interest. So one of the things that I got really passionate about maybe like four or five years ago is tea. I love drinking a great cup of tea. What it does to me when I have a really great cup of tea is it kind of makes me present. That's how I can describe it. So if I'm taking in the senses of the smell of the tea, I am tasting the tea, there is this, you're engaging your senses. So I think when you're like eating great food or drinking great wine, when you engage your senses, I feel like you're more present, or that's maybe my perception of it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So that's one of the things that I really love about tea. And when I start discovering that there were a lot of amazing tea out there, I got really, really excited and started to think about, like, I would love to have a business that would encapsulate the passion of tea.
And so now you do.
Yes. Now I am embarking on another journey with tea. And coffee, actually. My friends and I, we are in the process of acquiring a business. And we're going to be doing wholesale coffee and tea. And so it gets me really excited. I've been developing different tea tastings, tea classes.
And I've had the pleasure of participating in tea tasting with chocolate, which is just totally out of this world. So if someone wanted to get in touch with you to find out more about tea tasting,
yes,
find out more about payroll, bookkeeping,
sure,
coffee, I mean, anything, how could they get in touch with you?
I have a website. It's my website, my bookkeeping and payroll business website is RPS Payroll Solutions with the S at the end .com. You can get in touch with me via my website. In terms of tea, if you want more information about tea, you can actually go to Copa Vida Facebook. And a lot of the events that we do on the weekends, whether it's coffee or tea, will be posted on the Facebook page.
And the food there is amazing as well.
Yes. Yes. I do love the food there.
And that's in Pasadena.
Correct. It's in Old Town Pasadena, and it's on the corner of Raymond Avenue and Green Street.
So if someone wanted to call up and say, can you tell me more about the tea tasting, they could do that. Copa,
yes.
Vida.
Yes. Copa Vida Cafe.
All right. VIDA. And then, so what are the other interests? I know you're an artist. Tell us more.
Yes. I love art. I think if I have a primary passion, although I do so many other things, it would be art. And I'm just thinking about different things that I can do with art and thinking about, like, what can I do to help the artist community at large? So I am in the formation of some ideas right now.
You sound like such a typical entrepreneur with 5 million ideas, but you are executing so many of these, and that's what I wanted to bring into focus. So you can continue, but I just had to say, wow. And yes, it is possible. And it actually is even important, right? To have other interests and not be, even though you can be very passionate, and you are, about the payroll and bookkeeping business that you have, but also being passionate about your causes and passionate about your other interest, I think helps to make you more well-rounded and helps to make you a better entrepreneur.
Thank you, Jan.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think when I started my payroll and bookkeeping business, I realized at that point, you can really take something that you're passionate about and make it a business. So that's what I learned with that business. So, you know, obviously I just described my other interests. I have a lot of different interests and passions. And so, you know, I don't run out of ideas. So ideas come very easy to me. And so, you know, I think I'm just thinking about, for my future, how do I incorporate all my passions into something that would benefit, you know, whether, you know, it would be for someone's business or whether it would be for enjoyment or whether it be for, you know, a benefit for the community. So I am very aware of my surrounding, and obviously I've lived in Los Angeles for most of my life. And so, you know, I really love the city. I think the city has a lot to offer, and, you know, hopefully I can make Los Angeles a little bit better because I'm here.
Oh, you already have.
Thank you.
You already have. And I'm so thankful and excited that we've had the opportunity to talk to you today about your business, about your interest, about tips that other entrepreneurs can take and go forward with and that can help them in their own business as well. So, Do Kim, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Jan.